Lecture 5, Weimar.
We return to Great Masters. This is Liszt, His Life and Music, and this is Lecture 5. It is entitled Weimar. Bye, bye, Marie. Convinced that Liszt had abandoned her for his career, despite the endless letters and money he sent her, Marie Daju left Italy and moved back to Paris in November of 1839, taking a large and fashionable apartment in the heart of the Faubourg Saint-Honoré. With Liszt out of the picture, Marie, prodigal daughter, was welcomed back to the family bosom. She was reunited with her brother and her mother, the Countess de Flavigny. There was a little problem. The three illegitimate children, Liszt's children, Blandine, Cosima, and Daniel. Apparently, it was understood that in exchange for her rehabilitation, Marie would have to do something with those creatures. Marie's mother, the Countess, preferred to pretend they simply didn't exist. So the kids were unceremoniously dumped on Liszt's mother, Anna, who raised them lovingly and effectively as her own. Liszt, aware that Marie was not terribly fit to be a mother, was thrilled with the arrangement. One less thing, or should we say three less things, to worry about. Marie's salon soon began to attract some of the best-known names in politics and the arts, including Henry Bulwer Lytton, then a diplomat attached to the British embassy. Marie likely had an affair with Bulwer Lytton. At the same time, her husband, do we all remember him, Charles Daju, offered to take her back and allowed her unrestricted access to their once surviving daughter, Claire. Oh, it all proved to be too much for poor Marie. The proximity of her husband and daughter, her social rehabilitation, her rapprochement with her family, the affair with Bulwer Lytton, her depression returned, and with it, any number of psychosomatic illnesses. Marie's unhappiness would, as always, find an outlet in her writing. She began writing reviews in January of 1842. Given her punchy, hard-hitting style, Marie decided, very wisely so in those good old days when critics were often challenged to duels by those they criticized, Marie decided to take a pen name. She chose Daniel Stern. Daniel for her youngest child, and Stern because, well, she was a star. Marie had wanted to fancy herself the muse, the inspiration, the guiding light to a great man, Franz Liszt. Instead, as we heard in Lecture 4, Marie Daju became a burden. She watched from afar as Liszt became a legend, with no help needed from Marie, merci beaucoup. Nothing could have reinforced her own futility, her own impotence more, and nothing could have made her angrier. It all came to a head in March of 1844, when Liszt, passing through Dresden, met the then 26-year-old Lola Montez, the famous and self-styled Spanish dancer. Some Spanish dancer. Her real name was Eliza Gilbert. She had been born in Limerick, Ireland. We are told that, quote, everything about Lola Montez was false, except perhaps her ample bosom, which she once bared before King Ludwig I of Bavaria, unquote. Anyway, Liszt and Lola had been seen together in public. The papers got a hold of it. Marie Daju read about it and considered the public nature of whatever was going on to be the ultimate betrayal, the last straw. She broke with Liszt and proceeded to write a book entitled Nelida. No one who read Nelida saw it for anything other than what it was, an autobiography thinly disguised as a novel. The heroine, a young woman of aristocratic background and noble spirit named Nelida, I would point out that Nelida is an anagram for Daniel, as in Daniel Stern, as in Marie Daju. Nelida has the misfortune to fall in love with a painter of genius, a young man of questionable scruples and common birth, named German Regnier. They become lovers. He becomes famous. He leaves her and breaks her heart. He discovers too late that without Nalita's inspiration, he has nothing. He falls ill. He sends for Nalita, who arrives just in time to forgive him for his infidelities before he drops dead in her arms. She devotes the rest of her life to good works.